This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast, powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchen. And Adam, this is a great show. We get to break down all 10 Patriots draft selections from the 2020 NFL Draft. A couple of guys in here that we talked about in our pre-draft shows, a couple of new guys that kind of made it into the mix here for New England as well. But overall, I just wanted to get your general impressions of the draft before we get into all these different prospects.
Well, with the exception of maybe Asiasi, these were all pretty surprise picks to me. Not that they didn't fill needs or get good players or anything like that, but I was just surprised at most of these guys that were taken. That said, I think they did a good job of filling needs at a few spots. You know, they got a safety, which we both thought that they needed, or at least needed to get younger at. And they got a couple tight ends. You know, they got some edge guys. You know, it seems to me like they found certain guys that, you know, were filling holes. And, you know, none of these guys I was, like, blown away by. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see any of these guys and say, all right, this guy's a future multi-year All-Pro, you know, all that stuff. But I think that, like, there's some solid picks in here.
I agree. I think that most, you know, I wrote this right after the draft. It's not a blue chipper draft. Right. There's not a ton of guys on here that I think are immediate true X factors. I think Duggar could eventually be that, and I think Uche could be a star in his role in New England, Kyle Van Noy type, not necessarily an all pro, but just a guy that plays extremely well with what they're asked him to do. I think what this draft comes down to for me, though, is just the media and the fans' name preference and over Belichick's preference, right? Because when we pegged a lot of these same spots and areas of need as the team did, but at safety, for example, I think the buzz names were McKinney, Delpit, Winfield, Ashton Davis, and the Patriots take Kyle Duggar. And then at tight end, it's Kmet, Trotman, those guys, Thad Moss even. And then the Patriots take Asiasi and Keene. And I think it just left some people scratching their heads. Like, first of all, with Duggar and a couple of other of these guys, quite frankly, who the heck is this guy? I think a lot of fans were asking themselves that. But mainly, I think it also is just, well, why Duggar over Delpit, who was at LSU and, you know, was a unanimous first team All-American in 2018 in an FBS powerhouse conference? And why the D2 guy over somebody as decorated as Duggar? So again, it's just fan media preference, buzzy names against what the Patriots had on their board. And Nick Caserio came out and said it, that Duggar and Uche were two guys that they wrote down after night one and said, we want to come away from day two with these two guys as New England Patriots. So for the most part, they hit the guys that they wanted to hit on, especially early in the draft. Let's start with Duggar, obviously the 37th overall selection to the Patriots, the top pick in the draft for New England. I think the biggest thing with him, obviously, is the D2 element of it, is just the jump in competition is going to be steep. But with that being said, extremely athletic, a guy that Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio both went down to the Senior Bowl and saw up close and personal, shutting down tight ends that were drafted in this draft, like Adam Trotman and Harrison Bryant and Josiah DeGura. Bryson Hopkins was there as well. So they saw him do it against good competition in Mobile. They saw him dominate at the D2 level at Lino Ryan, and they saw him absolutely just destroy the combine at the 99th percentile, 4.49 40 at 6'1", 217 pounds. That's all pretty impressive resume, even though he's coming from a smaller school.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know how, you know, how important, you know, great film is when you're in D2, but I think that you're looking for somebody who if he's going to be an NFL prospect at that level, really dominate, and he did that. You know, like he's running around there making plays. He's around the ball a lot. Like, if you're gonna have an NFL draft pick in the second round, going to a D2 school, you want him to look like a stud. If he if he's in Division II. And that's what he was doing. You know, like he played really well. And, you know, his athletic profile is, you know, has him up there. You know what I mean? He ran a 4.49 40, you know, 42-inch vertical jump. You know, this is a guy that should be able to dominate at that level, and he did. Again, like, you know, a guy playing Division II, you're always going to wonder about the level of competition. But, you know, I think he's, you know, athletic enough to make an impact at the NFL level. And I think, you know, he seems like he's a, you know, there are other guys I'd rather have had there. You know, I was a big fan of Winfield, but this guy's bigger than Winfield. Right. Not saying a lot because Winfield is very tall. But Duggar's got, you know, he's well put together, and he's somebody that, you know, should athletically fit right in when he starts.
I think that's the biggest thing. If they had drafted a D2 guy that was just an average athlete but had great tape at the D2 level and had a good week in Mobile, I would totally understand it. But, you know, kind of the animosity towards the pick. But Duggar is one of the 10 best athletes in this entire draft. Yeah. And he just killed the combine on every level. I think the biggest thing, though, is the Senior Bowl evaluation for Caserio and Belichick, as they're on the field at practice with this guy up close and personal, watching him in one-on-ones just put the straps on every single tight end that was there that week. You know, Trotman, DeGura, Bryant, Bryson Hopkins. I list all the names already, but those guys had a lot of trouble, especially Trotman, had a ton of trouble uncovering against Duggar in one-on-ones and then in the game as well. So I think the biggest difference between him and a guy like Winfield is obviously the size. You know, Duggar is rocked up. He is a thick dude at 217 pounds that can really move, but packs a mean punch too. And he's very physical, sideline to sideline presence against the run. He also has tremendous versatility. And I think that that's a big buzzword too with the first couple of picks in this draft, especially, and Dalton Keene also, who we'll get to, just in tons of versatility. Duggar can play up top. He can play in the box. He can play in the slot. He can play like a linebacker. He can play like a free safety. You know, he can play everywhere. And I think that the role that they kind of look at him filling is sort of like what Patrick Chung has done for them over the years, of that tight end stopper, but also a guy that's in the box at times, filling against the run, playing intermediate zones, you know, that sort of thing. And then if they need him there, if they need him on the back end, he's got plenty of range, ball skills. The vertical is insane, as you mentioned, to go up and contest, you know, jump balls and downfield passes, things of that nature. So I think that really what they saw with him was that he is a guy that can truly shut down an area of the field or a matchup. And they can go week to week and sort of figure out where exactly they need to best use him. You know, one week it might be on Travis Kelce. The next week he might be spying on Lamar Jackson in the box. The next week he might be helping out over the top. You know, it just kind of depends on the matchup. I think that that's mostly what they loved about him. Just listening to Caserio talk about it after they selected him, was that on top of the athleticism, on top of the Senior Bowl week, just the ability to move him around the defense as sort of a chess piece and a game plan option week to week was extremely valuable to them.
Yeah, and you know, people are going to look at this and say, oh, a second round safety, you know, is this a Jordan Richards,
right,
this Duke Dawson, something like that. It's obviously a very hard spot to fill for the Pats lately, but I think at the very least what you can say is Duggar is a better athlete than those guys. You know, absolutely. I mean, like those guys in particular were not this dominant athletically. You know, it's funny to say that about, you know, a guy in Division II against a guy like Dawson, who is in the SEC at Florida. But, you know, Duggar's a good athlete, man. He'll be able to, you know, physically do what they ask of him. You know, there's the question of how he's going to adjust to the level of competition. I honestly think that I don't think it'll be like that difficult for him. You know,
me neither.
I think
I'm not concerned at all about it, honestly.
Yeah,
he's such a good athlete that even at the level of competition that he was at, he's such a good athlete in the pros that it's not going to be for athletic limitations that he doesn't make it. If he busts or doesn't turn out to be a star or something like that, it'll be because of the mental aspect of the game or something like that. It's not going to be because he's not athletic enough, because we know he's plenty athletic.
Yeah. And so, you know, look, you look at this roster right now, they needed a guy like that to step in. And, you know, I have no problems with them taking him. I wasn't really, that aware of this guy before studying him after. But just his athletic profile, his film of just being sort of a dominant player at that level, and, the need, they needed to get, sort of younger at safety. And I think this is a solid pick.
When you watch his tape at Lino Ryan, he is a man amongst boys. I mean, these guys that are playing against him, it's unfair. It's truly unfair. And he admitted, as much in last fall, he admitted to us on the conference call, just saying, listen, the competition wasn't good for me. I didn't go up against these stud, tight ends or stud receivers like you're going to see in FBS college football. It wasn't good. But at the same time, I dominated. I learned a ton at Lino Ryan about how to prepare as a pro during the week, film study, practice preparation, stuff like that. Then he went to the Senior Bowl and he really absorbed the playbook that they threw at him very well, which was an NFL scheme. That's an NFL coaching staff implementing an NFL defense down there. And he picked it up really quickly and then he physically showed out. So I think the biggest thing for him is going to be making that adjustment from the speed of the game perspective, but also just from a information perspective, because obviously they weren't going to ask him to do as much at Lino Ryan as the Patriots are going to ask him to do. They're not going to ask. The playbook is not as thick. There's not as many adjustments. There's not as many kind of mental types of checks that he's going to have to make. I think the other thing that's a little bit disappointing is that he's 24 years old. It's not the biggest deal in the world. I'm not going to make a huge deal out of it, but he is who he is at this point. Maturity wise, I would say, in terms of his body, which is fantastic, so it's not that big of a deal. But being 24 years old, it really means by the end of his rookie contract, he's 28 years old. So you're thinking about a 2-contract player max here for the Patriots, which is one element of it if you're looking for a kind of a flaw in the pick. But I love the player. I don't think that there's any question about him as a talent or as a player on the field. All right, let's move on to Uche. Second round, 60th overall, Josh Uche from Michigan. Another guy that I think that a lot of other people were looking at guys like Zach Bond or Kenneth Murray, and they were like, that's the guy for the Patriots, right? The Bond buzz was insane here in New England before the draft. But Uche has a lot of the same types of skills, but just a little bit less heralded, I guess, a little bit less attention on him pre-draft, on and off the ball, versatility, ability to rush the passer, great first step. He had a very good production on a short amount of pass rush snaps, which is what you want to see. But really, I think it's the versatility and the athleticism that stands out with him.
Yeah, I mean, I like him when he drops into coverage. Usually when you see a guy like this, and they drop into coverage, they look like a fish out of water. And it's like, all right, I don't want to see him doing that at the pro level. But I think Uche does a pretty good job of dropping into coverage, finding his man, staying there, being a pest when the ball's in the air. I think he's pretty good at that. And I think he's more than just somebody who you look at with their pass rushing skills. I think even at the NFL level, he can cover pretty well and like drop in his zone or even cover guys one-on-one. So that's the part I was kind of surprised about, because I wasn't necessarily expecting that. But, he in some of the film, he has good pass rushing reps. I watched the Iowa film, and he was up against Tristan Wirfs a lot and didn't do very well. But, I mean, that's, you're not going to dominate every opponent. And I think, he is somebody that can move around a little bit. There are a couple of reps where you saw him almost like a middle linebacker. And so that was pretty cool. Like the fact that they trusted him, and Don Brown is a defensive coordinator who I have a lot of respect for. As long as they trusted him to do that many different things, and he didn't, and he did them ably, he did pretty well. I like the pick from that respect. I think, again, this is not something I expected, but the more I watch this film, the more I like him, just from a versatility perspective. And I really like the fact that, he's not just, going through the motions when he's in coverage. He's really good at that.
He is, and he had a play that I had him break down, actually, against KJ Hamler in Penn State, where he's playing inside linebacker off the ball, and he's playing the deep hole in cover two, and Hamler runs a sluggo in the middle of the field right into his zone. And he said, I had to carry everything vertical, and here I am running against Hamler's 4.3 speed up the seam at 245 pounds. And he was behind, don't get me wrong, but the ball was a little bit underthrown, and it brought him back to the football a little bit. And Uche was able to get his hand in there and break up the pass. And you saw that sort of athleticism and that ability to drop into coverage. Then you see him against Notre Dame, and he's locking down tight ends. He's locking down guys like Cole Kmet, you know, in the middle of the field at inside backer. And then he can put him on the line of scrimmage, and you can rush him either at edge outside the tackle or over the guard and center too, as a stand-up guy in the interior, which is exactly what the Patriots love to do with their linebackers, right? They're going to move those guys, especially in their third down sub packages. They're going to move them all over the line of scrimmage, whether that's standing up or on the outside, standing up in a two-point stance. He's able to do all that. I think the first thing that stands out to him as a pass rusher, though, is that first step, that he's got great explosiveness off the ball. He's able to stay low out of his stance and create natural leverage, being only 6'1". You know, he's a tough guy to get your hands on if you're a bigger guy or if you're a tackle or a guard, because he gets so low and he gets such great bend and flexibility to really get underneath and use that explosiveness to get off the ball and turn the corner, a tight corner, and attack edges. He's got decent hand usage as well. Jedrick Wills of Alabama said that he was the toughest guy he had to block all year last year at the combine. So definitely a guy that can pass rush, definitely a guy that can drop into coverage. He's got a little bit of an interesting story at Michigan in terms of playing time. You know, Rashawn Gary, Chase Winovich, those guys were ahead of him for a long time at Michigan. So he's kind of a one-year wonder for the Wolverines, but I think that the skill set is exactly what the Patriots usually go for, maybe a little bit undersized compared to what we've seen in the past with a guy like a Jamie Collins or something like that, but certainly a similar type of skill set or type of role that he can fill from Collins, where I think for the Patriots, they probably see him as an inside linebacker in most of his snaps, I would say, and then move him on the line of scrimmage, whether it's on the interior or on the outside in pass rushing situations. And I think he can be really productive in that role. Maybe not, you know, an all pro, but definitely can star within that role. A lot of people down at the Senior Bowl too. He was a Senior Bowl guy also, just saying that he was a very underrated prospect, underrated athlete, just didn't really get a chance to shine at Michigan until last year. So I think that's an exciting pick too. I understand, again, it's another one of those guys that maybe not the guy we wanted or the Patriots fans wanted, but still, when you watch the tape, like you said, you see a lot of great traits there and a lot of things that translate well to their defense.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things too, where something with his skill set, it's not always going to jump out on film unless you watch more of it, because part of the fun with him is he can do all these different things that you're asking of him. And he's not necessarily dominating in other ways, but I think he's somebody that could fit here. And I agree. I think they might start him in the middle, but I do think he's real comfortable on the edge, and he's just a solid pick. You know, again, this isn't these aren't flashy selections here. These aren't the guys that everybody was pointing to before the draft, but this is I think this guy can, come in and be effective. And I think, he did well against good competition. At Michigan, you obviously play some solid teams. They played Alabama, they played Ohio State, they played Penn State, they played teams like that. So, unlike with Duggar, where you're not sure, where to find the good film, Uche, cut his teeth against some really good players.
Speaking of cutting teeth against good players, and Frannie Jennings, the next pick here, obviously an Alabama guy, 87th overall in the draft. He's got your more prototypical Patriots edge size, 6'2", 256, nearly 34-inch arms, basically built almost a replica of Kyle Van Noy. He's built exactly the same way as Van Noy. Got that stand-up edge rusher role down pat at Bama, first-team All-SEC last year. Another Senior Bowl guy as well. So three in a row that the Patriots, right off the top of the draft, drafting from Mobile. what do you like about Jennings? I think that he's also a very solid in his role type of player.
Yeah. The games that I watched him again, he was really good at jumping the snap. Like,
it's unreal, right? I don't know what I want to ask him about it once he gets in here. Like, is it like a clapping thing? Is it like a timing? I don't know what it is exactly, but he's unreal at that.
Yeah. I mean, I went back and watched like the LSU game, for instance. He had a sack. Yeah. He right there. And even the Auburn game, he had some good jumps. So that's cool. I mean, it's an intelligence thing too, because you have to sort of figure out when they're going to do it. And so I think he's a guy who can be a dangerous pass rusher. And he's also somebody that, like, I thought did a pretty good job of reading what the play was going to be and reacting to it. So, you know, again, this is not the guy I probably would have had for this spot, but, like, he's, you know, very, you know, tough to keep off that edge. He's also kind of got that thing where with we were talking about with Yetur Gross-Matos, where, you know, he was kind of slippery and, like, not easy for tackles to keep engaged with. Like, this guy disengages very well. It's hard to get your hands on him and keep him there. And so, you know, he's very slippery, and he's got some good tools to work with.
I think the LSU tape was definitely his most impressive from 2019, at least. Going back on, like, sort of a history with him, he tore his ACL following the 2017 season in the college football semifinal against Clemson. He came back in 2018, and he was okay, but just wasn't really himself. You know how it is, a year removed from an ACL. Most of those guys take at least a year to kind of get back to full health with their knee. In 2019, he came back, and he was, for all intents and purposes, a force for Alabama in the front seven, led the team in tackles for loss, first team All-SEC, as I mentioned. But I think the biggest thing with him is also the snap recognition. I'm glad you pointed that out. That was going to be the first thing. But he also knows how to use his length. Like, he's 34-inch arms, and what he does on the edge is he just uses his inside arm to just press the tackle off of him, and then he turns the corner. So he doesn't have the best first step explosiveness. He's not quite as, like, twitchy and jittery out of his stance as a guy like Uche is, but he's got that length, and he knows how to use it to really bench tackles off of him and then soften the edge with that kind of arm length and hand strength, and then be able to turn a tight corner with the good snap reaction. And you put together a nice little skill set for a pass rusher there. I think the other thing about him, I mentioned his size, you know, being a little bit bigger than Uche at 256, where Uche is 245. He has the ability to hold up on the strong side, where the tight end side of the formation, and he can play that role pretty well as, like, a stand-up outside linebacker and set the edge in the running game. Good job locking out his arms, holding up at the point of attack, and just forcing a lot of running runs back to the inside. And then, as you mentioned, he's got a pretty good knack for disengaging from blocks too and making plays. That's why he led Bama in tackles for loss, was a lot of push-pull, you know, locking out his arms and then throwing guys off of him, that kind of stuff. The hand strength and the arm length and the ability to know how to use that kind of stuff and utilize his best tools, I think, is what stood out to me the most about him. And really, like you said, playing well against LSU in that offensive line, which was the best offensive line in the country, is pretty good to see that sort of production against such a good unit. He also played pretty well against Auburn also, who had some NFL guys at tackle on either side, Driscoll and Prince. They were both NFL tackles that got drafted this past year, so in 2020. So I think that there's a lot to like about Jennings. Again, I think another guy that's kind of just going to be a star in his role potentially, and not necessarily an all-pro player in the league, but you can tell why the Patriots sort of were attracted to him. And he's got the Saban seal of approval, obviously, too. You know, Belichick's getting the thumbs up before he drafts any Bama guy.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. Like, there's, you know, all sorts of pipelines, but the Saban one is probably the most
strongest.
Which is probably the strongest. You know, Jennings is a good player, you know. I mean, you know, and he's got that, you know, Kyle Van Noy sort of build. Right. And so, you know, I think the Patriots definitely were telling us what kind of needs they had in this draft, and sort of, you know, an edge player, you know, after some of the guys that took off, you know, is definitely one of them. And this is a guy that, you know, against really good competition showed well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We had the boogeyman last year. This is sort of like the younger version of the boogeyman, obviously. So they're not going to, these guys are not going to be necessarily pro ready like a Kyle Van Noy and a Jamie Collins were last year to just step right into those roles. But you got Uche, you got Jennings, you got Winovich, you got Hightower. That's a lot of sort of talent to just muddle up the line of scrimmage and move those guys around and have them rush from different angles and different spots and confuse offensive lines and offensive coordinators and quarterbacks. There's a lot of versatility there in that group. The same that there was a lot of versatility in that group last year. Guys that can play on and off the line of scrimmage, rush from over the guard or center or outside on the edge. So they have that ability again, that flexibility to move everybody around and continue to just rotate the dial and just figure out the best way to get pressure on the quarterback. 91st overall, third round, go with our tight end double dip here with Devin Asiasi. And speaking of Belichick friends, Chip Kelly, obviously a big time Belichick confidant. Nick Caserio said that they spoke to Chip Kelly about Asiasi before the draft and really did their homework on him, and, you know, said that Kelly was a great resource. So you know that they have good kind of vibes and good information on the guy. I love this pick. It might be one of my personal favorites of the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when we did our tight end show, you know, we were both sort of surprised that there wasn't more buzz about Asiasi. So good player. I mean, it says he runs a 4.73. He plays faster than that.
Yeah.
I just like how he gets up the seam. You know, those routes he seems to really do well with. And, you know, not huge. He's 6'3", 257. You know, one of the best receivers we studied from the tight end position in this class. And, you know, he had certain games where he just really went off. And, you know, this is a guy that, you know, can, you know, get like an extra gear and sort of take off and lose defenders. So I like him a lot. This is, again, like you said, this is one of my favorite picks that they had, because I think he can really be a downfield threat.
Yeah, he's a true pass-catching tight end. You know, he's got some ability to block just in terms of his size at 257. He can, you know, get some guys moving. Or I wouldn't say he's a people mover by any means, but he can turn some guys out of gaps. Let me put it to you that way. And I think that's a good thing to see from a blocking standpoint. But from a pass-catching standpoint, he had two of the best games, I would say, of any tight end I saw against Utah and against USC. Against USC, he went 5-141 in the touchdown. Yeah. You know, that's some great production against Utah, 5-72, but it was mostly just the types of routes that he was running against Utah that really stood out to me. You know, you talked about the ability to get up the seam. There's that. There's the ability to cross the field behind the linebackers off of play action. We're talking about Patriot-like schemes here, right? Mm-hmm. The seam route, the crossing routes, the ability to beat linebackers in the underneath zones just with quick kind of little hitters on the inside, little option routes out of the slot. He can detach from the formation. He can do it with his hand in the ground. He is really a big-time pass catcher at the college level. You know, a lot of people were banging the table for a guy like Cole Kmet. Well, Asiasi had, in 1 year, the same amount of production that Cole Kmet had in his entire career at Notre Dame. You know, in 1 year, he puts up 641 yards and 4 touchdowns on 44 catches. Cole Kmet was right around that for his entire career with the Irish. So that's the type of production you're looking for in a pro-style offense. Kmet was 691-6. So Asiasi almost matched him in one season at UCLA. And you put on top of that he was a Chip Kelly guy, and that Chip Kelly is running a pro-style system at UCLA that has a lot of things that look like what the Patriots like to do with their tight ends in terms of running vertically up the seams and stuff like that. You can see the easily translatable skill set. What he's going to do here versus what he did in college, it's a very easy transition to see that on tape. So those were some of the things that excited me about it. The juice up the seam, I think, is the most exciting thing, though. They really didn't have that last year. I mean, Matt LaCosse and Ben Watson were not threatening anybody else. Up the seam. I think this guy can certainly do that at that level. The blocking, I think, is a work in progress, but if they use him mostly in passing situations, third down, red zone, second and long, he's going to be an effective matchup weapon between the numbers.
Yeah, and I wouldn't worry too much about the blocking anyway right now because, you know, where they picked him, you know, end of the third round, like how many guys are you going to get who are like complete at both, you know? Right. You're probably right. Not. So I love his receiving ability, you know, his ability to put together huge games, like you said. You know, and he just like, I don't know, that 40-yard dash, he just doesn't look like he runs a 4.7 when you're watching him play. Looking like at least in the 4.6s or below, it looks like. But, you know, I'm curious to see what he would be like in the red zone at the NFL level. But right now, I'm just sort of excited about his ability, you know, to get up the seam and provide, you know, some sort of weapon that way. You know, I think it was a really, really solid pick.
I mean, I agree. I can see it now that they're running under center play action. Jared Stidham runs play action under center. Asiasi, just like Gronk used to, gets right up the seam, catches it behind the linebackers. It's all over his tape at UCLA. He did it a ton. He's also pretty good after the catch. He's not quite Dalton Keene, who we'll get to here in a second after the catch. But he's pretty good after the catch, too. And like you said, he gets up to a pretty decent top speed. And he's got the ability to really not run away from guys, but make it difficult to bring them down in the open field and get some extra yards. And he actually hurdled the guy. I believe that was in the Utah game. He had a great hurdle that looked really nice. So I think that there's a lot of elements of his game that you really like. Let's move on to Keene, 101st overall. We're still in the third round. Dalton Keene, a top tester at the combine among the tight ends in Indy. He's definitely more of a project just because the role at Virginia Tech was so unique, let's call it, you know, just playing everywhere in that formation and just not running a ton of downfield pass routes. It was mostly at the line of scrimmage or right past the line of scrimmage, tight end screens, leaks out into the flat, little kind of backside routes sneaking out the back end of the defense, that sort of stuff. But there were a few flashes that I was able to dig up when I really dug into his tape after the draft of him getting up the seam or getting vertical up the field and showing some flashes there and some good ball skills, good strong hands. But it's definitely the ability to create after the catch with the ball in his hands as a ball carrier and then a physical downhill blocker that has some inline technique things that he's got to work out. But when you watch him on tape, there's plenty of pancakes all over his tape.
Yeah, that was the thing I thought when I watched his film that stuck out the most was his blocking.
Oh, he's a physical blocker, yeah.
You can tell he likes to do it, too.
Yeah.
The way he does it, it's like he's getting his nose in there, man. Like, he's a very physical dude. Again, like, maybe technically not the most sound, but, like, he can really, you know, he really likes it, and that's really half the battle of guys when it comes to blocking at the NFL level. But, you know, he's a good-sized guy, and I think – with Asiasi, you know, Asiasi's the one who I sort of expect to be the better receiver, but we'll see what he does. And, you know, like I said, I just really like his willingness to get down there and do the dirty work and block.
It's fun to watch him, too, because they used him in a couple of different ways off the line of scrimmage, like almost in the backfield as a fullback, but not really, and also literally as an H-back right off the line of scrimmage, and he's coming around, he's lead blocking, he's doing a bunch of different things in that respect. And when he gets ahead of steam as a blocker, you know, when he's just going right at a base block, just guy right in front of his face and he's got to block him, not necessarily the most, you know, effective people mover in that regard, but when you get him a little bit of ahead of steam, whether it's a lead blocking type play or an H-back a little bit off the line, that's when the pancakes start. That's when he can really start to use his athleticism to get some momentum into the contact and really blow some of these guys off the ball. That flexibility and versatility, it reminds me a lot of like what the San Francisco 49ers do with their tight ends and their fullbacks with like Juszczyk and Kittle, where they're not necessarily Gronk type blockers where you're just like a sixth offensive lineman. This is a guy that's more of like a chess piece blocker that you're going to move him around in different spots. You're going to find ways to get him in space as a lead blocker and just figure it out from there. The Patriots don't run a ton of tight end screens, but I wouldn't be surprised if they install one for Keene because he's really good on those and really good as a ball carrier. And just a very difficult guy to bring down. I think that there's a lot to work with here. I think it's a nice ball of clay and certainly an effective and you know, effort-wise, he gives all-out effort no matter what he's doing, whether he's blocking or he's running with the football. It's all-out effort all the time. It's just going to be an adjustment because he just – Bill Belichick himself said it. There's just not a ton of things at Virginia Tech that he did that are translatable to what he's going to do in New England. It's a completely different skill set. It's a completely different ask at the tight end position. But with James Devlin's retirement, I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of go in a little bit of a different way with lead blockers at times next year, where it's not all just your traditional strong side or I formation, you know, 21 personnel with the back in the backfield behind the fullback. There might be a little bit more creativity now that Keane's on the roster. And I think that eventually there he will have the ability to be more of a pass catching threat down the field. It just is going to take some time for him to fully acclimate himself to that sort of role.
Right. And I think a guy who, you know, is so willing to block like he is, a lot of times will find a spot for that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how he'll be as a receiver right away, but like you said, it might take some time. But blocking-wise, he's somebody that can sort of step right in.
Just get him the ball in his hands. Yeah, that's what Belichick said was impressive about him at Virginia Tech, was not only his effort and his ability as a ball carrier, but the fact that that offense kind of made it a point to get him the ball a couple of times a game in space. That tells you what the coaching staff thinks about him in terms of his playmaking ability. So whether it's just leaking him out into the flat or trying to sneak him out the backside like they did a few times at Tech or the tight end screen, those are sort of the three main schemes that they use to get him into space. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots use him in those types of ways as a rookie in certain types of situations if they just need a play and they can't keep on relying on N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman to continue to make the plays and they just need somebody else to make a play. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw the ball to Keane behind the line of scrimmage and see what they can get out of him. All right, let's move on to the kicker. Here we go. Fifth round, Justin Rohrwasser. Give me your best kicking scouting report. Go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like he had good stats. Like, for the most part, it was fairly accurate. Kicked well in big games. Kicked well in bad weather. So I think, you know, those are a few things that, you know, Belichick must have liked. But I'm glad that they drafted a kicker. Like I said, I'm not like super well versed on this guy, but you know, I'm glad that they drafted a kicker because, you know, look where they're at right now, they're in a position to get one. And, you know, the special teams selections that Belichick's made over the years, I think, have been pretty good. You know?
Awesome.
So, you know, Slater, Bailey,
Cardona, even Zoltan Mesko was a decent pick at the time for a punter. I mean, you can go right on down the line. They've nailed the sort of draft, the special teams draft picks.
Yeah, so this guy seems, you know, like, you know, sort of trust the coaches on this one. But it seems like he is somebody who, you know, could fit here.
Yeah, so Cam McCord went to his pro day, the Patriots special teams, well, special teams coordinator, not by title quite yet. Joe Judge obviously was the special teams coordinator last year. Cam McCord was his assistant and is the next guy in line. He went to Marshall for Rohrwasser's pro day. They actually got the pro day in right before COVID sort of took off. And they were able to get an aptitude test with him, a mental aptitude test, to see what he was like under pressure, to see how he handled certain situations. And apparently he aced that test. And in his college career, he was 14 for 14 on fourth quarter and overtime kicks. Didn't miss a single kick in fourth quarter or overtime. He made that 53-yard game winner in the rain against Western Kentucky that's making the rounds in terms of like a highlight kick. Huge leg, 6'3", 230 pounds. So he's like a linebacker kicking, essentially, in today's NFL. So that's a big guy for a kicker. And obviously he has that big leg to go along with it. So big leg, clutch gene, has the right general makeup about him. Belichick talked about how quickly he gets the ball off the ground is something that they really liked. Avoids blocked kicks and things like that. Generally accurate. Listen, it's a kicker. That's what they needed to hit, check the box there. Again, though, another pick. We talked about all the other guys that they picked when we had different names in mind. No one had Rohwasser in mind. You know, he's not Rodrigo Blankenship from Georgia or Tyler Bass or even Sam Sloman. You know, this is a guy that was completely off everyone's radar. So another kind of shocker for Belichick there in the fifth round, the special teams round it is now. That's Bailey's round, that's Cardona's round, that's Slater's round, and now that's Rohrwasser's round as well. So that's where they go out with the special teams. Let's get back to some of these non-specialists, though. Another one of my favorite picks in the sixth round, 182nd overall, guard Michael Onwenu from Michigan. I asked him about this on the conference call. He played at 370, he told me, 368 at Michigan last year. He's now down to 344 pounds, and he says he's feeling a lot better moving around at that weight. He felt like he was a little bit too heavy at Michigan last year, but just an absolute bulldozer.
Yeah, this guy is, you know, he's big, you know, like as you said, but it's probably good that he's cutting some of that weight. I mean, he's not somebody where I think, you know, he's not somebody where a lot of the Patriots guards typically are really fleet of foot, you know, like, you know, those guys, good athletes, can get to the second level of no problem. I feel like he's mobile, but he's not necessarily like athletic, you know what I mean? So in some respects, he's not like sort of the typical Patriots guard, but he's so strong and he is like a battler in there, like a mauler. You want that, like if they're going to run the ball, you know, you want to run it behind a guy like this. And he's good in pass protection too. So I was sort of pleasantly surprised when I watched this film that I didn't really know what to expect. But yeah, this is a guy that can fight in there, you know, and win those little battles. And I think he's, you know, I think it's good that he's getting down a little bit weight wise, but you know, we'll see, you know, how he competes. But I think he's somebody that, you know, I think four of those Michigan offensive linemen got drafted.
They did.
And so, you know, I mean, he's used to playing on a good line. And yeah, this guy's a battler. This is somebody you want in the run game.
When you watch him and Ruiz, the center from Michigan who got drafted by the Saints in the first round, when you watch those two guys double team block, it's a thing of beauty. Those guys just destroy people on combo blocks, double team blocks at the line of scrimmage. And Onwenu, I think the most impressive part for me was, even though he's not the most athletic guy, but for 300, he's playing at 368 pounds, he moves pretty well for that size. And he's got the ability to pull. He's got the ability to climb to the second level. And once he gets on a linebacker at the second level, he can really move that guy. You know, he's throwing guys 10 yards back at that point once he gets up there. So that's a big time blocker in terms of when you watch the tape with him, that he just pops. You know, his blocking and his power just really pops. Then as a pass protector, you can certainly attack his edges. You know, he's not the most nimble-footed. He's not going to slide and kind of protect his edges very well. But when you try to run through him, good luck. You know, you're not going to be able to run through this guy. He's got a great punch, too. You know, really stuns guys with his punch and really just kind of ruins the rush at times with just throwing a big jab at somebody. And he has also a pretty sound ability of passing off stunts and different types of actions in the interior of the line as well. So he's a lot more athletic than I was expecting. I was really expecting a stationary guy in a phone booth, but this guy can get to the second level. He can pull, like I said. He can move on stunts and, you know, pass off things on the interior, which you're going to have to do a lot. And if you're going to try to bull rush him, you better bull rush somebody else, because that's just not going to work against this guy. I think it was a steal in the sixth round to get a player with this much physical dominance that can really develop into a starter, I believe, at that position if he can keep his weight down and improve sort of just his overall foot speed a little bit by playing at closer to 340 instead of up at 370.
Yeah, and it's, again, you know, with the Patriots situation right now, they don't need him to come in and be a starter right away, you know. So he can come in, learn the ropes, you know, and see how he competes with these other guys. I think this is like a good, you know, Ted Karras replacement. You know, yeah. I don't think he's I don't know if he snaps the ball at all or anything like that, if he could step in at center. But, You know, this guy, I mean, he looks like a guard. You know what
he
I
does.
Mean?
He does.
And he's a so, So I think, again, like, this is nice value for a sixth-round pick.
He was a guy that first of all, to answer your question about him snapping, he told me that he has never played center in a game, but he did snap at practice, and he's working on snapping now. So they kind of were – he was sort of their emergency center if they needed to throw him in there, and now he's working more regularly snapping the football. But he's built like a guard. Looks exactly like a guard.
Yes.
And he's really a prospect that I think they stole in the sixth round. A lot of draft Knicks had him as like a fourth round value that they get all the way down in the sixth round. My guess is that teams were just a little bit nervous about the weight. You know, that's a big boy to really be able to move and mirror quicker edge rushers or quicker pass rushers, excuse me, on the interior. That's going to be difficult for a guy of that size. So that's probably my guess is why he moved all the way down to the sixth. Patriots go again with another offensive lineman in the sixth round at 195 with Justin Herron from Wake Forest. Actually, the first Wake Forest player Bill Belichick's ever drafted, which I thought was interesting.
That's fresh. Yeah.
And he played left tackle for Wake, kind of projects more like a guard at the NFL level just from a body type perspective. But watching him, he's a pretty good pass protector. You know, he's able to slide his feet. He's able to redirect and move his feet in either direction. And he's pretty smooth out there at left tackle.
Yeah, I like it. I liked his feet, too. I thought, in general, he's a pretty good athlete. Some people, it seems like, have read, don't think that he might necessarily have the play strength as some of the other guys.
Right.
Which is fine. I think, you sort of look at his strengths, though, with his feet. Like, he's definitely a good athlete, you know. He ran a 5.240. You know, 33-inch vertical jump for somebody that big is pretty good. I like him. I think, you know, again, this is somebody who, you know, has played tackle before, so he's got some versatility to him. I'm curious to see if he'll get that shot in the NFL. Might not, but I think that'll be, you know, I think that experience at least will serve him well. And I think as a pass protector, he was pretty strong. In the film that I watched.
Yeah, against North Carolina, he really locked out all those edge rushers. They pretty much didn't beat him off the edge at all in that game. And you see the vertical jump is usually translatable to explosiveness, and you definitely see that explosiveness out of his stance. He gets out of his stance pretty quickly, and he's able to really mirror guys out there on the edge. He's built more like a guard, but I'm not sure if I even see him there. The Patriots listen to him as a guard, but that play strength, you know, he's a guy that's going to get bullied inside by NFL power. I just don't see him really translating that well there. But if he can play out at tackle, he can play pretty good pass protection, like we mentioned. He's also a guy, though, that they love these converts. Like, they love taking guys that were left tackles in college, making them guards in the NFL, and having them be good, you know, high-level pass protectors, you know, the Joe Tooney types. So I think that that's sort of what they're thinking is here later in the draft, obviously, than Tooney. But sort of one of those guys that can play guard, can play tackle, but mainly be a high-level pass protector regardless of which spot he's playing in, and you'll worry about the power in another way. You know, you'll help him out in some sort of way schematically so that he doesn't get bullied into the quarterback or bullied out off the ball in the running game. But again, you know, a sixth-round flyer, so you're just sort of throwing in his name in the hat, so to speak. I think Onwenu is the type of guy that I see as more of a guy that can stick around and immediately potentially back up a spot. Whereas with a guy like Herron, I think they're kind of betting a little bit on the athletic upside and the movement skills and hoping that they can sort of mold it from there with the run blocking. All right, let's move on to Cash Malai, who I think is one of the better picks of this draft, too, all the way down at 204 in the sixth round. He was the less heralded linebacker from Wyoming. We talked a lot about Logan Wilson on this podcast. Malai was the other guy, and that's sort of what Belichick said about him. You know, we watched a ton of Logan Wilson film this draft season, and then all of a sudden we're seeing this other guy pop, and we're like, who the heck is this guy? And they end up drafting, you know, the Malai a little bit later. Obviously, Wilson going in the third round, Malai goes in the sixth, but a very athletic linebacker.
Yeah, and you know, you don't say this about a lot of guys because it sort of goes without saying, but like the effort level that this guy plays with, you know, is just like off the charts. He's, you know, he's sort of like plays like his hair's on fire. It's kind of like, I know it's a different position and everything, but a little bit like Winovich. You know, in terms of like how you never have to question this guy's effort. You know, he's always sort of like flying around. So, you know, I think a lot of people expect him to make a difference on special teams. And the way he plays, he fits for that. But I think he can find his way on the team as a linebacker too. He sort of does a lot of different things. And so I sort of expect him to find his way on the roster somehow.
Agreed. And he ran a 4.53 at his pro day at 248 pounds. So he can run. This is an athletic linebacker that's up almost at 250. So he's got some size to him. Against the run and against passes behind the line of scrimmage, he clicks in pretty quickly. He's pretty good and pretty instinctive at sniffing out blocking schemes, figuring out where the ball is going, and, you know, beating guys to that spot or slipping blocks, and really an effective sort of run defender for that Wyoming defense. And then on top of it, he can drop into coverage and play in space a little bit too. He needs to work on sort of like his anticipatory skills from zone and just kind of being aware of route combinations and what's coming at him and how to jump those different types of routes so he's not reacting all the time to everything. But he made some pretty good plays on the ball in some of the tape that I watched, where he's making plays in coverage and actually breaking up passes, you know, and stuff like that. So that's always great to see. He's a little bit of a hit stick from the intermediate level too, as a zone dropper. You know, he'll come up and he'll lay the wood on a shallow crosser or a guy in the flat or something like that. But again, like I said, in zone and in coverage, just needs to be a little bit more anticipatory, understanding what kind of route combination, reading releases, reading breaks, stuff like that. So he's a little bit more ahead of the ball than he is at times in coverage, where he gets a little bit, you know, sort of reactionary at points in coverage. But at the same time, I think at the sixth round value, this is a great pick, because like you said, this guy plays with you know, his hair on fire, like a Winovich type, that sideline to sideline hustle all for four quarters. And he can certainly contribute on special teams in that way as well. All right, one last one here. Seventh round, 230th overall. It is center Dustin Woodard from Memphis. There is no profile on him on NFL.com. There's no profile on him on the Draft Network. Pro Football Focus likes him a little bit, though, but no write-up on him on Pro Football Focus. So sort of an unknown center guard type prospect. But that Memphis offense, we talk a lot about that Memphis offense, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And he held down pretty well there at the center spot.
Yeah, and you have to move if you're in that offense. You know,
right.
You
can't. That's the first thing that stood out to me as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a good offense, man. It's fun to watch. You know, it's a fun league in general. But you know, I don't expect too much out of him. He seems like he's a pretty solid athlete, which is good for the center. You know, I don't know, you know, I wasn't able to get too much film on it. You sort of had to watch a Memphis, like thing that's either the offense in general, or there wasn't like solo clips of him.
Right.
But you know, he seems like, I don't know how, what his play strength is like per se, but it seems like he's athletic enough, you know, to do the job. But you know, I'm not sure, you know, how much expectation I have for a seventh round, you know, offensive lineman. But, you know, hey, you know, who knows? And they must have seen something in him. And, he's got a chance here to, you know, join a very, you know, sort of crowded interior offensive line group at that was drafted this weekend.
Right. No expectations for a seventh round pick, obviously. But at 6'2", 291, he's got that undersized athletic prototype, which is what the Patriots banked on with David Andrews, and that worked out pretty well. Now, I'm not saying that Woodard's going to turn into David Andrews by any means, but he's got that type of profile. That's the sort of guy that they're kind of mirroring here. When you watch his tape, he's not a people mover. He gets off balance at times out of his stance, trying to create movement by just firing quickly out of his stance, and he'll get, you know, head over toes and sort of fall forward a little bit too often. But he's a very good positional run blocker, and he can reach blocks at the center spot because of his athleticism and his size that you wouldn't normally expect. You know, this is a guy that can reach out to a guy in the B gap and turn him out inside and have that movement range to be able to do things like that. As a pass protector, he's got decent hands, decent base to him, could probably be bull rushed a little bit. I didn't see him bull rush a ton against Ole Miss, which is one of the big games that I watched of his, but certainly a little bit of, you know, concern, I would say, about his overall play strength. I think the main thing, though, that reason why he goes undrafted is because that scheme is just so productive at finding space for ball carriers and for running backs that there's not a ton of tape of him like actually truly affecting the play, you know, right, truly making a difference on a running play where the running back is picking his gap or choosing his gap because Woodard just cleared somebody out, because that's not really the scheme that they're playing. They're playing an outside zone, aim at the sideline, and then cut back up the field. You know, that's the sort of scheme that they're running, and there's a ton of space as a result between the tackles because of just the way that they run things down there. So I liked him, though, in terms of his athleticism, his ability to move laterally and just kind of block laterally off the line in zone schemes. More of a zone blocker, I would say, than a run blocker or than a man blocker, but I can see where they're going with it because from a profile standpoint, he's basically the same exact mold of Clay as David Andrews was. 6'2", 291. Andrews was 6'2", 295 coming out. Athletic upside, that sort of pick. So a lot to like about this draft class. There was also 16 undrafted free agents so far, and we wanted to just go 1 minute or so each. Is there an undrafted free agent that you thought stood out among the rest?
Well, you know, it's funny, like, who knows what it'll be, but I remember back when I was still covering the team, I asked Brian Hoyer about Lewerke,
right?
Because he had just gotten started there, so, and Hoyer was super high on him, like. He was saying that, like, out of all the all the Michigan State quarterbacks, that, like, they think that this guy could be the best one.
Interesting.
He obviously didn't have a great year, and I don't expect him to, you know, be like a starting quarterback or anything like that. But I mean, as far as what Michigan State does, like putting a lot on the quarterback as far as making reads before and after the snap. You know, this is a guy that mentally should be able to handle what they throw at him.
Yeah.
So I was sort of laughing when they picked him, because it was one of the conversations I had with Hoyer was, you know, about him.
Big guy, big hands. That's the word on the street around here is about the big hands. I think the thing about Lewerke is that he had an interesting career where in 2017 as a sophomore, he played great. You know, he comes out of the gate as like a man on fire. But then in 2018 and 19, some of the warts sort of showed up. But he was a draftable talent. He's a guy that a lot of people pegged as sort of a late round pick. So everyone's saying the Patriots didn't draft a quarterback. The Patriots didn't draft a quarterback. To me, once they signed Lewerke, that became a little bit disingenuous because he kind of became the quarterback that they, so to speak, drafted. It's just instead of taking him in the sixth or the seventh round, they just waited and signed him as an undrafted rookie. So that's sort of what you're looking at there with him.
Yeah, you talk about somebody like who initially, like you said, played well. Like people were, you know, looking at him as somebody who was definitely going to draft, like a very, not a very high, but a high draft
third or
pick.
Fourth rounder, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's actually nice value there.
Yeah, it really is, because the Patriots are one of those teams, too, with guys like Stidham and stuff like that. They'll say, all right, we think we can get the good stuff out of him and clean out the bad stuff, or hope we can. And that's sort of, I think, what they're going with Lewerke, who has all the physical tools. He's a big guy. He's got an NFL arm. He's actually a very athletic player, too. He can run. Yeah. He can run with the football as well, and he can scramble and extend plays a little bit. It's just the accuracy, the decision-making, the 17-13 TD to INT ratio last year was bad, too. And that whole Michigan State offense over the last couple of years has just been bad. Oh. Just bad skill players, bad scheme, bad quarterback play, just all of it. So that's it's a flyer for sure. But again, I truly think that to say that the Patriots didn't address the quarterback position. No, they didn't draft a guy in the first three rounds. They didn't draft Jalen Hurts. They didn't draft Jacob Eason or Prom or someone like that. But they did pick up a guy that has NFL caliber talent, NFL skills. They just signed him as a free agent. The one that I wanted to go with was Nick Coe from Auburn, who I'm sure you've seen a little bit of down in the SEC. He was just behind a lot of NFL talent on that defensive line. Marlon Davidson, Derek Brown, Big Cat, those guys played over him at Auburn. And he also had some concerns with just sort of being unattentive during the week. Let's put it to you that way. Falling asleep in meetings, you know, not showing up to practice on time, that sort of stuff. But if you can get this guy to buy in, then he's a draftable talent for sure. Long, 6'5", 280 pounds, a big, long edge defender, more of like a five technique, I would say, in the Patriots system with his hand in the ground than a stand-up guy. But he's got the length and the power at the point of attack and the ability to lock out in two gap. He also has a little bit of a first step, I would say, and some explosiveness off the ball to rush the passer. Another name there to just check off that 16-year run of undrafted free agents. I know there's some wide receivers that people want to hear about, too, that we can talk about in future shows for certain. And Jeff Thomas from Miami is the big buzz name. Everybody's labeling him the next Tyreek Hill here in New England. I don't know about that. But Thomas is pretty subtle at the line of scrimmage. He's got good releases. He's got speed at 4.45. So he'll be a fun player to watch during camp as well. But that's over an hour now that we're at of Patriots draft talk. We nailed every single pick. Me and Adam nailed every single pick in our mock drafts, too. I know we got every single one right. We had it all down. I did not get a single pick right in my mock draft. At least we
gave a lot of like pub to Asiasi before he was picked.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we talked a little bit about Uche too, and yeah. and some of those guys. And we didn't nail this draft quite as well as we did last year.
Last year's the standard.
I know we got all five picks. Their first five picks of the draft. We talked about all five guys. So that was a brand name draft, I would say, yeah. Last year. You know, the Harrys, the Winoviches, those guys were guys that everybody had sort of understood and known for a long time were NFL caliber players. This draft, a little bit more of the unsung heroes, I would say, yeah. In some spots.
I was going to say, though, so we were texting a little bit, but Thursday night, Justin Jefferson comes off the board. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts were two things. First of all, my thought was I was actually pretty convinced, and Greg Bedard convinced me of this on the live stream, that if Justin Jefferson was there at 23, it would have been a serious option. Yeah. They probably would have thought long and hard about it, which is tough pill to swallow. Then I watched their trade call. They posted the trade call of Casario and Belichick calling in the trade back to 37. And they said that they were talking already with the Chargers before the pick was in, that it was Justin Jefferson. But then Casario on the trade call, he says to Bill, the Vikings took Jefferson, and Belichick said, okay, I'll go ahead with the trade.
Ooh.
So I think Jefferson might have been their guy if they'd stayed pat at the pick. If they had picked at 23, I truly think it was him, and that stings a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of looked at it like after a number, like after the first round, I wasn't too disappointed in any receivers that they didn't take, other than I kind of thought that, like, hey, lasted until the seventh round was
KJ Hill.
KJ Hill. Right. And I was like, you know, it seems like a decent fit. Would have been nice. You know, you can tell, though, they really didn't prioritize wide receiver like everybody else, you know.
No, Belichick talked about it. He said that he basically made it sound like they invested too much high capital with Harry and Sanu in the last year on the wide receiver position to draft another guy in the first three rounds. You know, he said they picked Harry in the first round last year. They gave up a second for Sanu to fall, you know, in this draft. And they just kind of felt like investing another top 100 pick in a receiver was just not allocating the proper resources to all the other position groups. So that's why you saw tight end, I think, became the wide receiver position this year, where they double dip at tight end, and that's where they focused on adding some serious pass catchers. I agree with you, though. It was the day three picks, I think, that were the disappointing ones in terms of passing on the receivers. You know, guys like KJ Hill or Isaiah Hodges or Gabriel Davis or Quintez Cephas, who I know has the off-field stuff but was a really good player. That those guys just were sitting there on the board for round after round after round. James Proche also sat on there, I think, until the fifth. So just to see those guys sit around and linger and have the Patriots not jump on any of them was definitely surprising.
Yeah, I kind of think, and I do, like, I wish they had gotten a receiver at some point, but I do kind of expect that you're not going to see Harry have a real underwhelming year again. I think he's going to have a good year.
They're like, banking on it. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, Brady iced out certain guys if he didn't trust them.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case with Jarrett Stidham. I think Jarrett Stidham's going to try to, you know, work the ball around now. And Stidham and Harry were the same class.
Right.
You know, I think there might be something there where Harry has somewhat of a renaissance, you know, as a second year receiver.
Listen, there's flaws in N'Keal Harry's game. We all know it. You know, the releases at the line of scrimmage, I think technically are the biggest flaw, but his breaks aren't very crisp either. But this is a guy that dominated in pretty much every level of football he's ever played at, high school, college. He'll figure it out to a point where maybe he's not going to be an all-pro receiver someday, but he will be a viable NFL pass catcher. And I think that's what they're banking on, is that Harry is going to have a breakout in year two. They already have Edelman. They already have Sanu. They have Damari Bird, who they're extremely high on. They think Damari Bird is better than Philip Dorsett. So that they thought that was an upgrade. The main reason why was two things. One, at the line of scrimmage, Damari Bird is just a little bit less linear than Philip Dorsett. Philip Dorsett's kind of a little bit of a stiff guy, where he's more just a vertical threat, and that's about it. They feel like Damari Bird's got a little bit more jitterbug in him, and also he's got a little bit more ability to create after the catch. He's a little bit more of a punt returner type of element there as a yak guy. So they think Damari Bird's better than Philip Dorsett in their system. It's going to be an upgrade there. So when you start to look at the numbers, there's Edelman, there's Sanu, there's Harry, there's Bird, there's Myers. Where does the next guy fit in? Unless he surpasses a Sanu or surpasses a Bird as a rookie, then there's really not a spot for another receiver. So I think that's a big part of it too. All right, I think we've just about covered it now. We talked quarterback, we talked receiver, we talked all the picks. Adam and I will be back next week. We're going to talk about some of the undrafted guys in more detail. Adam, is there anything else you want to plug here at this point?
No, I think I made us waste another 10 minutes.
No, that's good. I'm glad we talked about the wideouts, because it's definitely a topic worth talking about.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing else going on.
Awesome. Well, the Patriots, they'll stay busy. You know, obviously no spring ball this year because of the coronavirus. That adds a little bit of an element of, a different element to this offseason from other offseasons. I don't think we're going to get the June mini camp that we usually get, mandatory mini camp, usually at the beginning of the month of June. Doubt we're going to be able to get there, but hopefully we'll get football back in July. And we'll see some of these guys in action that they just drafted. On clnsmedia.com, just go ahead and check out all my draft stuff. I have grades up. I have film reviews up on Duggar and all the other day two picks as well. I have all my threads are now posted on my Twitter at Easy Lazar. So you can find all 10 players have threads now up on my Twitter account. And like I said, we'll be back next week on the pod with a more draft breakdown, look at the roster type stuff. We'll talk about some of the undrafted guys as well. Until next time, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for